Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Co-author of The MVP Machine with Ben Lindbergh, how baseball's new nonconformists are using data to build better players. Travis, the former beat writer of the Pirates, what, for about three, 4 years for the Tribune Review. Travis, good evening. How long was your stint here in the Berg?
4 years, I think, 13 through 16. So, yeah, a lot of fond memories, a lot of fond experiences, and it's good to be back on the Pittsburgh airwaves.
And you had an opportunity to chronicle, really, perhaps one of the most historic seasons in Pittsburgh sports, not just the Pirates, with your first book, Big Data Baseball, and how the Pirates went about ending as a small market team 20 consecutive losing seasons. And they did it really in a fascinating way. And your first book that you wrote chronicled all of that, Travis. However, and I was telling listeners before I got on the air, that seems like a generation ago. And not that I would ever urge anybody to throw that book away, because it's a great read, one of the more fascinating reads about baseball that I honestly have ever read, Travis. It's probably somewhat antiquated, at least the mindset behind that, is it not?
Yeah, I hate to say that about my own book, but the game has changed so much in the last 5-6 years. And, the Pirates were one of the more analytically driven, smarter teams in 13 and 14 and 15. But, since that time, we've seen new technology come on board. We've seen new ideas filter in the game. And if you're not staying on top of those things, if you're not willing to change and ask questions and challenge people within your own organization, it was really easy to fall behind. And I think we've seen some clubs like the Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays really embrace the new tech, the ideas, and be willing to change within their organization. And I think we've not been seeing other organizations do the same thing. We've seen the separation in not so much what happens at the major league level in talent acquisition, because everyone has kind of a money ball mindset when it comes to evaluating players. Every team values on-base percentage. Every team values major league talent pretty much the same ways. But where we're seeing the huge gap is in player development. And how are you adding skill to players? How are you improving players? What are you teaching? And that's where we're seeing the great divide today.
Yeah, again, market inefficiencies and player acquisition, one thing, player development is another. Because, again, and this was a great quote, and this is from an unnamed source in the book, I think it was an MLB scout, if you're a Moneyball team right now, you're getting your ass handed to you. Just to give you an idea that that's what it's not about anymore at all, because there's been a bunch of investment in front offices and quantitative analysts, as you call them, quants, in this book, and I guess, for lack of a better term, and not to insult anybody, the nerds in the basement of a ballpark. A lot of teams have a lot of them, and they're paying them a pretty hefty penny.
Yeah, I mean, look, those guys are still important. You still have to have them. The predictive models still mean something. It's still important to understand what's important on the baseball field. But every team has these guys. So, for the Pirates to go out and think they're going to get an advantage in a trade is more unlikely than it was, or find an undervalued free agent signing is more unlikely than it was 5 years ago. Like Russell Martin, when the Pirates signed him after the 2012 season, most of baseball was not appreciating pitch framing and the value that Martin had there. The Pirates decided to take a chance on that. Now everyone is valuing pitch framing. And as we saw, Russell Martin, a couple years after they signed him, was much more valuable when he re-entered the free agent market than some of the Blue Jays. So that's an example of how everyone has embraced the Moneyball mindset. That book was published 15, 16 years ago. So everyone's caught up to that. It's this next generation of information, data, new ideas that are in the game that has created a new arms race, for lack of a better term, and that's where teams are creating an advantage.
Yeah, and I would like to think that because, everybody's hip to it, that Travis, still the large market teams have perhaps a bigger advantage than small market teams. Are you finding it in that aspect as well? Whereas it was the small market teams kind of undercutting the big market teams, and you know, with a payroll of $60 million, being able to outwit, outsmart, and you know, have better seasons than the $200 million payroll clubs.
Yeah, I mean, once the Boston Red Sox start operating like the Oakland A's, then your advantage as a small market team is gone from Moneyball principles. But where you can create an advantage, and where the Astros and the Rays have done this, is again, player development. And yeah, we've seen, everyone's aware of the Chris Archer trade. You look what the Rays did with Glasnow and Meadows and Shane Boz, the minor league level. You have to wonder, why were the Pirates not able to do these things with these players? And a lot of times in the MLB draft, when we look at a prospect failing, we blame the scouts. We blame the person in the draft room selecting them. But what if it is not so much the raw talent that's to blame? What if it's the people, the coaches, the player development staff that have not gotten the most out of this talent, the coaches? You know, with Gerrit Cole, we can go really deep into this if you want, but yeah. I mean, why were the Pirates not telling him to do what the Astros have told him to do? Why did the strikeout rate explode when he went to the Astros? His swing and miss on fastballs skyrocketed. And it wasn't like this was a multi-year project. As soon as Cole began pitching for the Astros, he became better immediately. Same thing with Justin Verlander after he left the Tigers. Same thing with Ryan Presley after he left the Twins and went to the Astros. Why are some teams getting more out of other teams' players? There's a huge, I mean, you think about the value there. If you can take someone else's players and make them better, that's free money for teams. And the teams that are doing that have a huge edge today.
Yeah, and which the Pirates did back in the day, but things have shifted. Let's talk about Cole here for a moment. Why did he have such success under a new philosophy, which seems to be taking hold in the game with a number of other teams? What did he do? Can you explain that to listeners?
And Cole is part of the book. And I spoke with him last year about this, and you know, he didn't throw the Pirates under the bus, but he did say, you know, when he came over to the Astros, they had he had the best meeting with front office and coaches that he's ever had. They showed him video of pitches he thought he should throw more and where he should throw them. He showed them the data, and it was all very digestible. It made sense in a way that he'd never been exposed to. And he got away from, they told him to get rid of his two-seamer, which the Pirates had wanted him to throw. The Pirates wanted everyone to throw a two-seamer. And they told him to put that aside, throw your four-seamer up, throw your breaking balls more in this location, and voila, you have a much better player. And I think part of the Astros' success is that they are very individualized when it comes to player development. They look at what each player does well, and they implement a plan to get the most out of that skill set, where I do think the Pirates, and this is part of Big Data Baseball, my first book, the Pirates did have success in getting, they set those record ground ball rates, and they had those ground balls hit into a shift, and they wanted more and more pitchers to throw two-seamers. But the issue with that is not every player, not every pitcher is, you know, meant to throw a two-seamer. That's not how they maximize their gifts. And I do think the Pirates fell victim to kind of putting some square pegs in round holes, where the Astros and the Rays are the opposite of that. They want to, they're very individualized with programs and that sort of thing. And there's also some speculation that maybe Gerrit Cole is applying sticky substances to the ball and increasing the spin rate. That's a whole other subject. But the Astros undoubtedly got more, they better individualized the plan for him to get more out of his skill set. And yeah, I think that should raise a lot of questions. Why did this happen to Gerrit Cole? Charlie Morton, why was he better after he left? Why has Shane Boz been better after he's left, even in the lower minor league levels? Why is Chris Archer getting worse? I mean, these are big questions to ponder, and the answers are pretty important.
Travis Sawchuk, formerly the Pirates beat writer, he was the author, is the author of Big Data Baseball. He chronicled the 2013 Pirates season with that great book and how the Bucks were able to gain strategic advantages with their philosophy there. He's the co-author with Ben Lindbergh of The MVP Machine, How Baseball's New Nonconformists Are Using Data to Build Better Players. All right, we've talked about, and I want to get to Morton here in a second, but this is about also being able to draft and develop your own impact players, which the Astros have done a terrific job of doing, which the Cubs have done a terrific job of doing. You look at what the Pirates have right now, they have had some success stories, especially on this roster that are helping them, though not win games, but as it pertains to pitchers, that's always been, for whatever reason, a bit of a struggle. Gerrit Cole, you could consider a success story. He won 19 games here in Pittsburgh. Jameson Taillon has been injury-prone. But outside of that, Travis, there haven't been many franchise-defining pitchers or ones that have come up here to be extremely impactful to help a small market team win, which, as you know, are so vital to a small market's success.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at this before I came on with you, and I wrote about this back when I was a beat writer covering the Pirates, and they made a, you know, we all, there's been a lot of people who criticize Pirates ownership for their spending limitations and everything, but when you look at those 09 to 13, those era drafts, the Pirates spent a record amount of money on signing bonuses in those draft classes. They tried to get the best amateur talent. And if you look at those 2009, 2010, 2011 draft classes, they made a historic commitment to pitching. They had 30 picks across those 3 years in the top 10 rounds. And I think 22 of them were pitchers, 17 were high school pitchers. And I know the folks at Baseball America had never seen such a commitment to pitching, especially when you factor in the signing bonuses they were giving. They spend something like $26 million on pitchers in those drafts. And really, all they have left to show for that is Taillon, who's hurt, and I think Clay Holmes, and that's it, after Kingham was DFA'd. And that's not what you want. And was that because they were drafting the wrong guys, or is that because they weren't developing them? And I don't know. I think it's more of a developmental issue when you look at what Cole does when he leaves, and you look at what Glasnow does when he leaves. I mean, you look at what Morton does when he leaves, and who knows what Kingham will do when he leaves. And it's the lifeblood of a small market team. You have to develop your own. You have to draft and develop your own pitching. And too often we get focused on the draft aspect. Oh, this guy failed. He was a bust because he was destined to be poor. What we argue in the book is actually it's much more about how does he develop his own talents? How do coaches develop them? How do they use technology? And just as an example for how the separation between teams and the development factor, going back to the Astros, there's a high-speed camera that's come into the game in recent years called the Edutronic, and for the first time it shows pitchers exactly how the resolution is so good. There's so many frames per second, it can show a pitcher exactly how a ball leaves their hand when they throw it in a bullpen session or a game. It shows exactly how their fingertips impart spin, how it tilts the axis to create a curveball, slider, fastball. The Astros last year had 75 of these cameras hard-mounted in every stadium in their organization, from the majors down to, you know, rookie league and foreign rookie league. Most teams were experimenting with their first Edutronic camera in spring training camps this year. So it shows you the data advantage just in video and photography the Astros had. And they showed Verlander his best slider grips when they acquired him. They undoubtedly did the same thing with Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton. They showed those pitchers how they release their best pitches. So when they go to throw their bullpens, when they go to practice, you can see how you're releasing the ball, and then there's the Rapsodo and the TrackMan that show you the corresponding spin rates, spin axes. It shows you how to practice and train better. You're not going out, you're not feeling, you're not searching in practice. There's data, there's science backing it up. So it allows for fewer reps, smarter practice, and that's what we're seeing the best teams doing. The best development approaches in the game are doing this. And the Astros also fired all their pitching coaches a few years ago. They wanted everyone to get on board with new age thinking, this tech. And if you weren't on board, you were gone. And I think what we see in too many pro organizations, there's too much loyalty. There's too much, people are too afraid to hurt feelings. Or the Astros don't care about any of that. They want people who are going to get on board with the plan and the new ideas. And they're a great example of optimum player development. And we argue it's the most powerful thing in baseball right now.
Yeah, and I could say, as we have Travis Sochek, the MVP machine, having been in the Pirates minor league organization, this is something that they did. I remember they cleaned house, and they did have individualized plans for players back then, and some of, I guess, the crux of what you're discussing here, but that was in 2008, 2009. So whatever they instilled then, it's probably suffice to say, Travis, that is probably antiquated, and they do need to hit the reset button on it because of the clear lack of results that exist. We're talking to Travis Sacek, MVP Machine co-author, along with Ben Lindbergh here on the NASCAR Roofing Preview Show. As we get to the heart of the matter, brought to you by Washington Health System. What else are the successful organizations doing outside of the technology and the science aspect of it? Is there anything that the Twins are doing particularly well that has led to their success this year? The Rays, obviously, are doing terrific work.
Yeah. I would say one interesting thing that's come about is who is being hired to fill these roles. When you look at the Twins' new pitching coach, Wes Johnson, he came straight from the college ranks at Arkansas to the Major League bench this year as a Twins pitching coach. And that is that college to Major League jump by a coach had not been done in 40 years. We're seeing a lot of it used to be that you had to play pro baseball to be a coach in pro baseball. Now we're seeing that's not the case. If you have the best ideas, it doesn't matter where you come from. You could be a driveline baseball employee out in Seattle working at an independent facility and get hired by a major league team. You can be a college coach and get hired by a major league team. The Twins also hired Tanner Swanson to be their catching coordinator at the University of Washington because Derek Falvey, the Twins GM, liked how he taught Freeman, and the Twins are seeing results there. So it's about what you know. It's not about are you a former pro player? And to give the Pirates some credit, I think Eckstein, the new hitting coach, the last 2 years has done some really good things. You look at Josh Bell, they worked on contact point, swing plane, and I think that has played a role in his breakout rather than they've gone against, the Pirates are finally going against traditional teaching methods of hit low line drives, use the big part of the ballpark. Now it's, to optimize your power to get the best results. It's about contacting the ball further out in front, not letting it travel, getting the ball in the air to your pull side. And, Bell's had a great year. We're seeing those gifts. Bell is a great example of drafting a high-caliber athlete and now having the right player development tools and messages in place to get more out of them. And that's what it takes in today's game to compete against the teams that are best doing this. Look, the Dodgers are going all on this. The Yankees are going all in on this. So it's not going to be a small market edge. You have to be willing to invest in the high-tech, the high-speed cameras, the Rapsodo devices. I was just at AA Akron last week to do a story, and the Phillies travel with Rapsodo devices and 8 cameras they set up before every game to monitor, to get as much information they can on all their minor league players. And if you're not doing this, you're falling behind as an individual player and as a pro organization.
Travis Sacek, former Pirates beat writer, now author of the MVP Machine. Basically, we're talking about player development and how teams that have had recent success are doing it. Having said all of this, and for those that have been with us the entire interview, it sounds like the train is moving so fast, Travis, that as soon as an organization tries to get on board, the industry or the competitive advantage will have zagged when everybody else is zigging. Do you see it that way? And is there, I guess, a blueprint? Because it almost seems as if it's the wild, wild west, that everybody's just throwing up a bunch of stuff and trying these different things. And if it sticks, those are the ones that are getting the competitive advantage.
Yeah. I think there's still uncertainty how to best train velocity. Weighted ball programs, are those right for everyone? Are they only right for certain pitchers? We certainly, as we research a book, there are certainly cases where you could train velocity and improve velocity, but it might not be right for everyone. But I think what is right for everyone, what uniformly should be adopted across baseball, is pitch design. Like with Trevor Bauer, he's a big part of the book, and he basically invented modern pitch design with his dad, where they were the first people 5 years ago to buy an Edutronic camera, pair it with Rapsodo, and in the off season go to driveline or wherever he was working out, and they would monitor every pitch he threw. They would see every subtle adjustment he made to his wrist position or grip, and they would see how that affected spin rate, spin axis, and pitch movement. And he created a plus slider from scratch last off season. What? Adam Ottavino became familiar with his story, and Ottavino, who lives in New York City in the off season, his father-in-law had a vacant narrow storefront in Manhattan. He let him create a driveline style bullpen there, brought in the Edutronic, brought in the Rapsodo, created a new cutter, and he had that breakout year last year after a poor 2017. So we are seeing more and more pitch design success stories, and I think every pro team should have, at the very least, kind of a pitch design lab and their spring training off-season facility where they can work with pitchers to add a new breaking ball, to improve a breaking ball. College teams are doing this. North Carolina, Missouri, Iowa, they were ahead of pro teams, a lot of them, doing this. And, more valuable can every pitcher be if they add a quality pitch? So I think that and the swing plane stuff, contact point stuff, every team should be adopting some of these philosophies because you get more out of your players.
Fascinating stuff from Travis Sochek. We could discuss this for a lot while longer, I'll tell you what, but I'm sure a lot of this is chronicled, Travis, in the MVP Machine, the new book. It's on shelves now. I went to Barnes & Noble, South Hills Village. I got mine yesterday. I've popped it open, and I can't wait to finish it. Along with Ben Lindbergh, you guys clearly, I could tell, have done a great job. You've got all sorts of endorsements. Ken Rosenthal, Bill Simmons, Nate Silver, the founder and editor-in-chief of 538. Good stuff. Congratulations on the book, and of course, give Travis a follow. And hey, don't make yourself a stranger here. Get back to Pittsburgh every once in a while, will you?
I was there earlier this year, but next time I will make sure to say hello to you, Dan.
Thank you so much. Or we can just get you on the show.
Great to be back on the Pittsburgh airwaves. This is great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Travis Sochek, the former Pirates beat writer of the Tribune Review, now an author two times over. He wrote Big Data Baseball 5 years ago, and he joins us now as the co-author of the MVP Machine.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.